The seed grew and produced a crop that was 100 times as much as had been planted. Welcome, everyone. I'm McDaniel Phillips, and this is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. Our host is author, teacher, and itinerant speaker, Kenneth Wong. Well, as we heard yesterday, all followers of Jesus are called to bear fruit. But what if no fruit is found in our lives? What are the possible consequences? And what are the possible obstacles to fruitfulness? In just a moment, Kenneth digs a little deeper into what prevents fruitfulness as he brings us part 3 of Fruit.
Hello everyone, it's a real joy to be with you. We are going on to the final and the third part of our series on fruit. We have talked about first, fruit to God, and second, fruit that remains. And today we are going to look at fruit with patience. We considered the question yesterday, what produces fruit? And came to the conclusion from the scriptures that it's by fertilizing and by pruning, to use two horticultural metaphors. And they stand respectively for the principle of life and the principle of death, by abiding with Christ and by being crucified with Christ. And through these means, we shall not only have fruit, but we shall produce more fruit and much fruit. Now today, I would like to consider the negative or the flip side of the question concerning what produces fruit, and it is this question, what prevents fruit? We spent a good deal of time yesterday in John chapter 15, and I would like to pick up this point concerning the condition of fruitlessness, which is also described in John chapter 15 verse 2, and its consequences. John 15, 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit. So he's talking about the condition of no fruit or fruitlessness. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So we have dealt with the second part of that verse yesterday. But I want to begin by considering the first part of John 15:2, which talks about the condition and the consequences of not bearing fruit or fruitlessness. The action here described is that he takes away, or in the margin, it is he lifts up. The words there and the implied action is not so much to cut off and to dispose as much as to lift up or to take up or to place it in a higher position. Who is being referred to in this verse? Well, it's referring to a branch that is in him, that is in Christ. So it is about believers. Believers who are not bearing fruit in the way that they should are not cut off or cast off from eternal life. It's not about the loss of salvation, but the loss of fellowship with God, the loss of testimony before men, and the loss of reward in a future day in Christ. And all this as a result of unfruitfulness or fruitlessness. Further on in verse 6 of John 15, it says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. The throwing out and the gathering here is by men and not by the Lord. And so, it speaks of the condition of withered, dried up and dead Christianity, which alas is all too common in some places, the reality of a powerless and lifeless Christian experience. The suggestion is that the wood from the grapevine is so small and brittle that it cannot be even used for firewood. It's not useful or usable. There's no fruit from such a life because it is neither abiding in Christ nor living the Christ life. Let's go back to the action that is described in verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away or lifts up. In the analogy with the vine, it is often the case that some new vine branches would tend to trail down and find themselves growing along the ground horizontally instead of up vertically. But you can't bear fruit there on the ground. You can only gather dirt and dust. And with the rain, it often gets coated with mud. These are the places which are unreachable by the sun's rays. They are not in the light. They are in the shade. and therefore they are surviving under conditions that are not conducive to fruitfulness. What they need is to be lifted or to be taken up with the mud washed off and cleaned, and twirl them around the stakes or the supports where they can begin to receive rain and sunlight again. And with that proper kind of nutrients and nutrition, they will soon start to flourish once more. So if you have truly trusted the Lord as your Savior, but you have been living an unfruitful life or a defeated life, you need to know that it's God's purpose for you to live a victorious and a fruitful life. And this is what He wants to do with you and for you, to take you up and to lift you up from where you have been lying down in the dust and the grime, and to put you back into a position where you live in the light of truth and God's word, and where you can abide and grow in His love. He wants to restore you and bring you back to a position of victory and of fruitfulness. You don't have to continue in a state of lying low and rolling around in the dust and the grime. You can climb up those stakes and supports and grow healthily and bring forth much fruit to the glory of God. Let me turn you to another parable which the Lord Jesus told concerning finding no fruit. And this is found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 6 to 9. And Jesus also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, "For 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?" But he answered and said to him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that you can cut it down." This parable which Jesus told is about a fig tree which is grown in the middle of a vineyard. The parable is really about the condition of finding no fruit or fruitlessness, not so much in a believer's life, but as the natural and expected condition of those who do not know or have God, that is, those who have not accepted or believed but have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. He was really speaking this parable against Israel as a nation. So there is first of all a national application to Israel as having rejected Jesus as their Messiah. And this happened throughout the 3 years of his public ministry. And that is the probable reference to the 3 years in the parable where the keeper of the vineyard came looking for fruit on the fig tree and finding none. But there is also a personal application in describing the spiritual condition of those who have rejected the Lord and who have no relationship to God through Jesus Christ. The fig tree in this parable is not a wild tree that happens by the wayside, but it is found in a cultivated vineyard where the soil must be good and generally well cared for by the farmer or the keeper of the vineyard, even though this is not the main crop. This is a fig tree in a vineyard, not in a fig orchard. Be that as it may, the Lord is still looking for fruit in the fig tree, even though it is in a field among vines, as He always does among all, whether they are Jew or Gentile. Wherever He finds you or has placed you, even though you may be standing all alone as the only fig tree in a vineyard and not in a fig orchard, He's still looking for those who will accept Him as their Lord and Savior and bring forth the fruit suitable for repentance, and not reject Him and remain fruitless all their lives. The period of grace asked for was to dig around and to loosen the soil around that fruitless fig tree to get better aeration and drainage, and to give it a second chance by trying to fertilize it even more. And God, in His grace, often does that. He's not slow concerning His promise, but He's long-suffering or patient in grace toward men, not desiring that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and to a knowledge of Christ. It is an extension of grace, but it has to come with a warning of this brief stay of execution or judgment for sin. So men and women should not take time and grace for granted. It's like living on borrowed time, and it's running out by the day and the minute. We need to press and to realize the urgency of receiving and not rejecting Christ, of not hardening our hearts towards the gospel of Christ. The preaching of the good news of salvation is brought out in a very wonderful way in Isaiah chapter 61. Listen to what it says. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. On to verse 3, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. So this is what the Lord would have us be, to be trees of righteousness, and to be the planting of the Lord, so that He might be glorified. And this happens when we respond to the good news of salvation which has been proclaimed. And this is the acceptable year of the Lord. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. So let's take and heed these two warnings of being found with no fruit, both for the believer as well as for the unbeliever. Also in Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 8, we have Luke's account of what is commonly called the parable of the sower, or more appropriately, the parable of the soils. Here we find the condition not of finding no fruit, but of bringing no fruit to perfection. This parable of Jesus is recounted in all the three synoptic Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But I particularly like Luke's account because only Luke uses a hundredfold to describe the fruit that is brought forth, whereas Mark and Matthew use 30-fold, 60-fold, or 100-fold. Let me read that to you in Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 8. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. What this really tells us is that we can be far more fruitful than we think. We often find it hard to imagine before we actually see the fruit for ourselves. And when we do, we might be surprised. But it should not be a surprise because it all comes from the working of God in our lives. But what I would like to focus on more is the third category of ground that is mentioned in this parable. And it's the thorny ground that is the main focus here, because that is what keeps us from being fruitful. And this condition of the thorny ground is described both in verses 7 and 14. In Luke 8, verse 7, it says, "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up, and with it choked it." And in the explanation given in verse 14, "Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to perfection or maturity." And it's that last bit that I want to concentrate on. What are the conditions that contribute to bringing no fruit to perfection or to maturity? We find in both verses 7 and 14 that the word choke is the word used to describe this effect. The supply of air or water or nutrients has been strangulated. It's not cut off all at once, but over a period of time. The supply line gets constricted and squeezed out. And soon, the effect is something that is very visible and palpable. You can see the suffocating effect on life and feel its tightening grip on the plant. And the result is that you get fruit that is shriveled and growth that is stunted. You may still get some fruit. It is not entirely without fruit, no fruit. But fruit that is not brought to perfection or maturity is often as good or as bad as no fruit at all. In verse 14, we have the mention of three specific things, and they are things of this life. And these are things which cause such a condition of immature or useless fruit. They comprise the thorns and the weeds which choke the life and the fruitfulness out of the plant. And regular weeding will therefore be needed to keep trim and tidy and healthy. And in all these three areas, it is the surfeit, or the taking to yourself in inordinate or disproportionate amounts, that causes the choking or the suffocation. The things themselves may not be really harmful. In fact, they are often necessary as things of this life, but it's their consumption or indulgence in excess that is damaging. The first is cares. This refers to distractions literally. They may be legitimate concerns and necessities which you have to attend to, but they can become a burden or a worry. And when necessity or responsibility becomes anxiety, what we do becomes unfruitful. Secondly, we have riches. This refers to the acquisitive instinct bred in a culture of covetousness. It focuses on wants instead of needs. And when you have a condition where provisions from God become possessions for self, it will invariably lead to unfruitfulness. And thirdly, we have pleasures. This refers to the hedonistic attitude to life. Hedonism is the philosophy of life which makes the pursuit of pleasure for itself as its highest end. And this is best encapsulated by the biblical phrase, "Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die." This is an attitude to life which pursues self-gratification and pleasure, instead of seeking to glorify God and to please Him. When delight in God is substituted by desire for things to satisfy self, and when true enjoyment gets replaced by indulgence, this will surely lead to unfruitfulness or immature fruit. Please note that the bottom line here is not merely about doing all things in moderation. It's something more than that. It's about mastery. It's about what or who we are mastered by. Our attitude to these things in life will be determined by the kind of life that is found in us. Is it the life of God? Is it eternal life? Or has it been diluted and mixed with sin and the world? In the explanation for the good ground condition of the parable in verse 15, it says, "But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." And this last part is where I've taken the title for today's talk from: fruit with patience. Patience is a particular virtue that is needed by farmers and gardeners for fruit bearing. Fruit is not something that comes about instantly, but it's the outcome of tender, loving care over a period of time. And this includes keeping out the birds and the weeds and regular fertilizing, digging around and pruning. Patience means that there is a constancy of purpose, a steadiness in doing, and having an attitude that is unswerving and persevering through thick and thin. In other words, it's faith with fortitude. In the very practical epistle of James, chapter 5, in verses 7 and 8, we find a very relevant reference to the patience of a farmer waiting for the ripening of fruit. Let's read this in James chapter 5, verse 7. "Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." There are two kinds of rains that are needed for the agricultural produce in the Bible lands. First, there is the early or autumn rains, which come around October or November, and they are needed after the sowing of the seeds. Then there is also the latter or the spring rains, and they come around the month of May, and they are needed for maturing of the crops just before harvest. And the farmer just has to wait for the time and the season for sowing, for watering, for maturing, and for reaping. He has to wait patiently, not just for the rains to come and to go, but also to allow time for the seed to germinate, for the seedlings to grow, and for the fruit to ripen and to mature. If you're accustomed to a big city lifestyle, you get used to living in an impatient society where everybody wants things done fast. Everybody wants to get results fast. And in so doing, we forget that some things in life take time, especially those that have a long-term impact and significance. But in an agricultural society, while the farmer needs to wait with patience, he's not just idling and doing nothing for that time. In fact, there is so much to do while he's waiting, and yet he's waiting with hope and eager expectation for the ripening of his crop. And it always helps to know that there is an end in view which is sure to come, which is sure to happen, and not have to wait indefinitely. And if we have such a sure and a certain hope, it makes it easier to wait patiently. And for the believer, it is the Lord's promised coming again that makes everything and anything worth waiting for, in His will, in His time, and in His season. And in the meantime, we occupy ourselves till He comes again, for there is much to do. Let us bring forth fruit with patience. And I trust you have been much blessed and refreshed by God's presence and reached by His word as we have studied this series on fruit together.
If we are to avoid unfruitfulness, we must exercise patience, and we must be wary of the cares, the riches, and the pleasures of this life that can so easily ensnare us. Thank you for that good word, Kenneth. This is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. And I invite you to join us again tomorrow when Kenneth Wong presents part one of He Spoke and It's Done. In the meantime, we'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or comment for Ken, simply send him a text message, 9431-3813. Or if you are still using snail mail, the mailing address is Post Office Box 392 Thompson Road Post Office, Singapore, 915714. And for the really savvy folks, Times of Refreshing has its own Facebook page now. And you can get the latest updates, you can socialize with Times of Refreshing fans, and you can give us your very own views on our Facebook page. I also invite you to visit our website, www.timesofrefreshing.asia, to listen to the program online. And Times of Refreshing has its own iPhone app that allows you to directly access the broadcast messages and the podcasts from your iPhone. I'm McDaniel Phillips, inviting you to join us again for Times of Refreshing.